buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Got a big, huge smile on his face. Good to see that on this Monday, President's Day. So I hope you're enjoying, if you've got the three-day weekend, hope you're enjoying what's left of it. Ray, you won't remember this, but John and Vince will here with me in studio. There was a time when we didn't have President's Day in this country.
Oh, yeah, Lincoln's birthday in Washington.
You
birthday.
Bet. And I grew up in the land of Lincoln in Illinois, and February 12th was a big deal.
Yeah.
Because well, it was trade-off, Honest Abe's birthday.
The trade-off is we had Lincoln's birthday, and then we had Washington's birthday. They were the 14th and the 22nd, I think. Of February
22nd for Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. And the trade-off was that we had Martin Luther King Day, and then they put the presidents all in one day.
Hmm. And you had to be careful because, you know, certain jurisdictions obviously are closed, like the federal government, but others are not. And I learned that the hard way years ago when I lived in San Diego, and it was actually on this day I went into work, so I was working hard that day, and I just assumed that we didn't have to pay for parking because it was a holiday. But no, the city San Diego was open that day,
oh, no.
and I got a parking ticket because I thought all the government agencies were closed, and I had to double check, so I had to pay my fair share for that, that parking
right.
ticket.
Vincent,
and I thought, insult to injury, because I hear I was working hard on a holiday.
Right. Hey, and by the way, before I do the formal introduction to the face-off, our best goes out to Mayor Jonathan Rothschild.
Yes, indeed.
The mayor was with me here in studio Friday, and then this news breaking that he was the victim of a carjacking over by Sam Hughes' neighborhood. Yeah. And, you know, he did the right thing. The guy's...
Oh, give him
gun.
The car. Yeah, give him the car. Yeah, it's a Prius, you know? Well, I mean, that's fine.
No,
I
don't know.
Nothing about Prius, but it's not a Mercedes-Benz.
No car, is worth
yeah,
your life.
I agree.
So, you know, so... But I know the mayor was saying that he was not really that shaken up. It all happened so fast. But sometimes those things, Vince, can have a little bit of a delayed reaction.
Sure.
Hey,
sure.
What did I just go through? You
absolutely.
Know?
Well, being a victim of any kind of crime, you know, and those sorts of things can happen anywhere. And so I'm glad that he's okay and nothing else happened.
Yeah, he's
happened.
A good guy. He doesn't deserve to have that happen.
No. Time for our Monday political face-off. Commentators John Munger. Mr. Munger, a well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents and 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. And he's very active, too, on social media, on Facebook. I've been enjoying some of the posts. You've been kind of going back and forth with a family member.
Oh, yeah. My family members are very active And they're not necessarily my mindset, but we have a lot of fun talking and educating each other. It's fun.
Vince Robigo is here. Vince, longtime Democratic Party activist, also a well-known attorney in town, former Arizona Attorney General candidate, also in 2010. Vince is head of the Hispanic caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. In other words, Moe makes house calls. He'll take care of everything, making sure it's up on the walls properly. Picked up an item on Saturday that Moe did for me, a beautiful print. And as usual, comes back, John and Vince, you could hang this particular thing anywhere. I mean, a professional gallery.
Great.
Mo knows how to do it.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah,
he's
very meticulous.
That's right. Have you taken also even custom frames, artisan-style frames that needed repair work, you know, it was from another country, and he was able to fix it up, you know, after the original piece started breaking up and it was unable to be hung. So he's willing to do all sorts of things. So I appreciate
he's
his good work.
Willing to go the extra mile. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and Moe's Gallery.
I always wanted to say Moe's Gallery and Fine Foods, but Mo, you can expand.
Well, if you arrive over there at lunchtime, sometimes Mo's got some pretty good stuff cooking there in the back. John, I don't think you'll like this poll. It comes out, it is President's Day, and these historians across the country, 91 of them, they rank all 43 former presidents across 10 categories, and this is the first time that former President Obama has been eligible, and he comes in number 12 on the top 20 list. How about that?
Oh, whatever. The presidents are judged. That's fine.
Yeah.
Presidents will be judged over the long period of history. I think everybody liked having the first black president. I don't know what he accomplished, but we could debate that forever.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be his true status. Will be determined over a much longer period of time.
By the way, Abraham Lincoln, number one, George Washington, number two, FDR, Vince, was number three, Theodore Roosevelt, four, Dwight D. Eisenhower, five, Harry S. Truman, Thomas Jefferson, JFK, Ronald Reagan, LBJ, 10, Woodrow Wilson, 11, and Andrew Jackson, who Donald Trump points to as kind of a role model, is
the only one
18
I don't think that should
list.
Be in there other than Obama is Woodrow Wilson. I mean, Woodrow Wilson was the longer history plays out his history, the worse he looks.
But, why, about getting us into World War One or
no? There were just I don't know what he accomplished other than getting us into World War One.
Mm-hmm.
He pushed for the League of Nations but couldn't get it done to get the United States to join. I'm not sure what he accomplished. The others are fine.
Okay, what do you think, Vince?
I think John's right. You have to look at the history in the long term, and I don't know. I haven't myself personally tried to evaluate the list or see where these various.
Obama ranked number three in one of the categories: pursued equal justice for all. He was number three in that category.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but his relations with Congress not good. Ranked 39th.
I don't know how he pursued justice for all.
Well, he certainly pursued economic and healthcare justice for all. So that's, John was trying to say, I don't know what he accomplished, but, he got, the Affordable Care Act passed.
You mean the Unaffordable Care Act?
Whatever flaws it may have, and I don't disagree that there are some aspects that need to be fine-tuned. That's true of any major piece of legislation that affects society as a whole in our country. Same thing happened, with respect to Social Security. There's things you have to do over the years after something major has passed, but that's one massive accomplishment. Passing a new law and signing into law, the Dodd-Frank regulations on Wall Street, which still to this day, people on Wall Street have never been held accountable, and that is one. So I give the president both credit on that, but also as far as, for example, Department of Justice and pursuing misbehavior on Wall Street. On one hand, I think the administration gets a massive plus. On the other hand, there's a little bit of a demerit because if you go back, for example, to the savings and loan crises of the 90s and how many bankers and people were actually criminally pursued for their wrongdoing. You just did not see that happen after the mortgage meltdown, and it should have happened.
No,
not only should it have happened for the mortgage meltdown,
prosecute anybody
on the front end, but it also should have happened with respect to the misdeeds and foreclosure misdeeds where they were submitting false notarized documents and all sorts of things just to take people's homes because of Wall Street's lackadaisical nature with the paperwork.
I couldn't agree more, but they weren't prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I'm pointing out.
And the concept of a building in, business being too big to fail, that's just crazy.
I agree with that. I agree with that concept.
You know, that,
so John and I are on the same page on that idea that something is too big to fail.
Been a while.
I'm not an economist. I'm not certainly one of these folks at that level. Yeah.
We had the worst recovery from any deep recession we've ever had. And you got to remember, when you're starting from zero, and I will say he started from zero, that recovery that and we did have a recovery, but the recovery that we had was very weak given the fact we were starting from nothing.
But you're saying it was very anemic?
Very anemic. And it should have been, when you have that deep of a recession, you should be coming back
robust.
Gangbusters. Yeah. And that just didn't happen.
You know, but you can't say that that's all him. I mean, certainly a big part of it is whatever the policy's trying. But if you want to look at some of the numbers, for example, when he took office, if you want to just look at unemployment, you know, it was in 2009, January 2009, 7.8% unemployment.
Whoa.
7.8%. When he left office, when we're talking December 2016, 4.7%.
Yeah, but
so you know what? You can try to malign him all you want, but you also had to give credit where credit is due.
No, but they're counting as employed people who are working part-time and that
you're the funny numbers you're saying.
All they've done is they've redefined unemployment. Unemployment used to be defined as people who were truly working. You know, the problem with the Obama recovery was that we have the lowest percentage of people on the employment rolls since way back, I think, 1970 or 79. You know, what people did is they dropped off the employment rolls so they don't get counted as unemployed. Mm. If you're not looking for work, if you've given up looking for work because you're so frustrated.
Or if you're no longer eligible and your retirement age.
Well,
so
you
can mess with those numbers as much as the same score.
Yeah, but
the
fact
same
of the matter is, Vince, that the...
Well, it's not a fact. That's my point.
The lowest, we have the lowest employment participation in the country for decades. And that has skewed the unemployment numbers.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. We'll be right back.
Einstein once said, as the bees go, so do humans. Five-star professional pest control techs have another option rather than killing the bees. We can remove them. This bee removal option is safe, effective, and next time you have a swarm of bees enter your personal space, call us and let us remove these bees. We have professional technicians on call 7 days a week, 886-0045.
We know what bugs you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon, a newsmaker interview with State Representative Kirsten Engel, plus Dan Gibson, a visit Tucson with the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and we've got our worldwide live listening, the podcast programs, and the show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Vince Robigo to the left of me, John Munger to the right. The Mose Gallery in Fine Framing presents our Monday Political Face-Off. Want to share with you gentlemen and our listeners what Tim Stanley writes. Tim is a historian and columnist for a paper, a well-known paper, on the other side of the pond, Britain's Daily Telegraph. And he says that the genius of Donald Trump's anti-media strategy is this: even if he fails, it's not Trump's fault. President Trump and his base believe the conspiracy against them is so enormous and almost unbeatable by attacking the media as forcibly as Trump has. He has primed his supporters for defeat, and that's why they regard a couple of mistakes that Trump has made in the past month. They're willing to not get all over Trump for it. In fact, this hardcore, John Munger, 38% continue to approve of the job the president is doing.
Well, I will tell you that Rasmussen had his numbers up to 55%.
Really?
So the polls are all over the place as to his approval rating. But
this was the Gallup poll, by the way.
Well, they're all over the place. but I will say that any way you cut it, in any poll, you will find that the president's trustworthy rating is above that of the press. I think that he's fighting a winning battle there. Certainly a battle that we on the conservative side agree with. We feel that the mainstream media, not all media, but the mainstream media has for decades now skewed their stories. I saw a story, for example, in the just in our local paper on Saturday or Sunday. They had some report that had been debunked in the prior week. They had a report that Trump wanted to put 100,000 National Guardsmen in the country to call them up to remove illegal immigrants. Well, that was their headline. Now, in the article, if you read the article, they explained that was some low-level flunky who had proffered that idea, and it had been rejected by the Trump administration.
It was picked up, though, then by the Associated Press.
Well, yeah. I don't care who it was picked up by. That's just another example of printing stories that have no real basis. I mean, why would you print a story?
Or was it like a trial balloon?
It was some low-level flunky in the White House that printed this paper, and it never went anywhere.
Huh. Well, to say that we have low-level flunkies in the White House, I think
sure,
really,
the reality is
you could try to excuse it away as much as you want. Somebody presented that proposal in the White House. That is not
and
fake.
And it was rejected by the Trump administration.
But we have to understand, it's still a policy being considered. Now, I think the issue here, and if John wants to talk about the media in general, there is both a 24-hour news cycle problem and a rush to scoop problem.
Oh, I agree with that.
The problem is that is something that's been around a long time, and it's only gotten worse with television and social media.
The 24-hour news cycle.
And social media has then heightened the desperation to try to be the first to break a story. Mm-hmm. So there does need to be restraint, but how do you counter that on those other issues that have nothing to do with bias? They're just trying to rush, and it in fact did happen, but they didn't get the whole story, apparently.
That story had been debunked in the prior several days, where the Trump administration said some young person had written this.
But it must have been talked about.
But it was. But here's see what John is, it was misunderstanding
Bill.
Is that
Trump policy, okay. And everybody knew
the
it.
Bottom line is,
and
that
yet it ends up in our newspaper.
Well, that's a different issue as to how good the newspaper is, or how well staffed they are, or how much work resource. That there's a decline in print publishing across this country. There's all sorts of other reasons that contribute to this, and you can't just say, oh, this is all just some big bias thing. It's not. You have all these other factors, and that's what's not being accounted for.
You can't convince that the bias in the Star is gross, and they knew what the story was because they printed it. When you read the article, it explained it. But the headline was, Trump's putting 100,000 National Guardsmen out to capture and deport all of the illegal aliens. Yeah. It's just a lie.
Well, you know what? I have no idea if it's a lie or not, because, one, it's very easy for
an
administration. Obviously, it hasn't happened, but it just was broken last week. I didn't say it had happened. Not completely, John. You have someone at the White House. We're not talking about some person who's a lower-level person down at the Immigration Patrol in Nogales sending a memo along.
You don't know.
So the reality is, this is the cleverness, and you're talking about this person from over the pond who wrote that article, mm-hmm. right? And talking about
from the
Trump's
Daily
war
Telegraph,
against the media.
Telegraph.
The reality is he can have all sorts of policies that he can float out there. And then if it doesn't, if people are go up in arms, like they rightfully did with this one, then it's like, oh, no, this was just some low-level flunky. That's false news. So it's self-fulfilling how he can go out there and then attack it while trying to make himself look victimized. So believe me, he's very smart and knows how to manipulate news and TV, and did so very, very well throughout the entire campaign.
Trump has never, ever, ever uttered the words he's going to put National Guard on the streets to bring in the illegal aliens. Nor did I say that. Yeah.
Nor did the report say that.
That has never been anywhere.
Has he ever talked about, though, on the campaign trail, about rounding up illegal
criminal
immigrants?
Illegals.
Yes. No, he did.
Criminal
and in fact,
illegals,
if you look back at the Arizona Republic, why wouldn't they be rounded up? Well, that's exactly what's interesting. In the Arizona Republic, before the election, and you can actually look it up, Trump said he was going to deport millions and was going to create to the extent that they couldn't have the capacity, he was going to create a special deportation force. Well, where are you going to get the manpower from? So the reality is Trump, before the election, was in fact talking exactly about doing what that policy proposed.
No.
It's just a question of how you accomplish it.
He's added Border Patrol. He's talking about adding 15,000 Border Patrol agents. That's where the force is coming from. Not the National Guard. And
he talked about doing this. It's a question of how to accomplish
it.
So this is not – John tries to make it sound like we're talking about some sort of Martian theory. This is so out of whack. This is completely consistent with what Trump was proposing before the election.
He was never proposing putting national –
It is not fake news.
It's fake news.
It was not fake. Was there not a paper in the White House by someone in the White House?
At the very lowest level.
Okay, so it's not fake.
And it was rejected by the Trump administration. And it never went past the young person who printed that proposal. I have worked on the Hill, Vince, And I will tell you, I worked on the Hill when I was 19 years old, and I put out some papers to recommend to my congressman to do. Mm-hmm. And he looked at it and said, "That's absurd. I'm not doing that." And that's the way it goes. So
I didn't know that you'd spent some time in Washington.
Yeah, I worked one summer on the Hill.
Okay.
So, you know, give me a break. Trump has got he's going to hire 15,000 Border Patrol agents. And yes, he's going to deport criminal illegal aliens.
What did you just show me?
I was just looked up, and it was actually not only in, it was in the Arizona Republic, it was when Trump came to Phoenix.
Right.
And if you remember the headlines here, and they were consistent with what he said, he promised to deport millions, and that he was going to be estimated 11 million people. So I'll tell you what, unless you're going to involve some major militarized force to go out and do that, how are you going to accomplish that?
He has.
So that's the reality, and it was a trial balloon.
What's the date of that article, Vince?
This was, let me see here.
He has said most recently.
This last summer.
This was during the campaign. No, it was closer to the end.
He has said most recently that he's only going to go after the criminal illegal aliens, and that he is. He hedged
September 4th, 2016.
Early in the campaign. Okay. And he has said
early?
Since.
That's after the primary.
No,
what are you talking about?
There's too much of the campaign left.
All right.
And he has said since that time that he's going after the criminal, illegal aliens. And he specifically said in the debates that he is going to decide later on what to do with the non-criminal illegal aliens. Okay. And he said on television the other day, incidentally, Vince, if you'll let me finish, he's probably not going to do anything with the DACA people, the Dreamers.
Yeah, look, even Chris Wallace from Fox News, going back to the media issue, said that Trump's going too far with his attacks on the media.
I don't care what anybody says. The question is, what
for you
is
Republicans
he doing?
Out right, there, listen to your Fox News. They're telling you what's going
all
on.
All right.
Fox News is balanced.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Vince Ravago. Vince, thanks for coming in. And John,
are we done already?
Yeah, we're done already. Thanks.
you monopolized all the time with your monologue there.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Mm-hmm. Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by our friends at Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road. Green Things, a destination in itself for all things having to do with the garden, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com. They've got some great roses now in stock. It is a great time of year to start some planting. They're on 13 acres. Tell Jack and Jan, the owners, that you heard Bill Buckmaster promoting Green Things. We really love Green Things. I've been going there for many, many years, and the plants are raised there. So when they come home to your home and when you plant them, they're going to do very well because they're like homegrown. Let's welcome now Nicola Hartman, the CEO of the Tucson-based Youth on Their Own. Youth on Their Own is one of the local nonprofits that have been come together forming the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition. And these organizations, these nonprofits, are promoting the fact that everyone should know about the Arizona Tax Credit for qualifying charity organizations. Nicola, how are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Tell me about this particular, first of all, what is Youth on Their Own? What is the organization?
Great. Youth on Their Own is a dropout prevention program for homeless teens living in Pima County. So we serve all of Pima County, and these are homeless teens, middle school through high school, who are homeless through no fault of their own, meaning that unfortunately, their parents may be into drugs, may have kicked them out because of
whatever
reasons. Mm-hmm. And these students want to finish high school. They know it's their only opportunity to have a chance in life. And we're there to do whatever we can to help them achieve that goal.
So when they're, for whatever reason, perhaps, you know, they're kicked out of the house, and where do they go?
It must
be a horribly frightening thing for a young person. Suddenly, where are you going to turn?
It really is. I mean, I've been in the office when kids come in, and they, as soon as they start to tell you their story, they just burst into tears because they're so stressed. But so students, some might live with a relative mm-hmm. who takes them in. A lot of the students are couch surfing, so they'll stay with a friend for a couple of weeks, and then that gets to be too much, you know.
So they got to leave from there.
Right, yeah. So they go somewhere else. Some of them you know, get together and rent an apartment. Some are in the foster care system and child protective services.
But over 30 years, you've got some great success stories.
Oh, it's really wonderful. I'm out in the community. I go to my doctor's office, and the receptionist there says, oh, you know, I was a youth on their own, uh-huh, and really helped me, lawyers and all the really good things in this community. It's really wonderful to see the results.
So it is tax time, and people are, I know I am, and others are thinking about taxes. So how can folks support youth on their own and get a nice charitable tax credit?
Wonderful. So if they go to our website, which is yoto.org, Y-O-T-O.org, they can make a tax donation there. And every dollar up to $400 for individuals or $800 for a couple is a tax credit. So if you make your donation for $400, you get that back in your Arizona state taxes. And you can do that till tax day on your 2016 taxes.
That's a win-win.
Oh, absolutely. And you can know that those dollars are helping a young person who really doesn't have any chance other than this program and the schools and the liaisons that we work with at the schools.
Because funding is always a big problem,
right,
for you.
Youth on Their Own gets no national funding. We do get some from the city and the county, and we're grateful for that. But we raise almost $2 million every year from the community to support almost 1,600 teens.
And when, how does the process work if a teen comes to you? Is there, do you get them housing or what?
We have liaisons, okay, in every school in Pima County, mm-hmm, and they help us definitely, one, qualify that the student is truly homeless, mm-hmm, that they haven't, one, run away from home, that they really are homeless through no fault of their own. And then we work to see what their situation is.
Are some living on the street?
Very, very few. So mm-hmm, homelessness looks very different from adult homelessness. Mm-hmm. They, you know, maybe just staying with someone. But a lot of these students are working, you know, two jobs and going to school full time, you know, because they've got to pay rent. And right, to be enrolled in our program, they have to be enrolled in school. That is a hard and fast rule.
This charitable tax credit program has been a real lifesaver for a bunch of organizations in town, a lot of nonprofits, and you
absolutely
interface with most of them here in town. It's been a big deal, hasn't it?
It's a really big deal. To be honest, I don't know what we would do without it. Hmm. It's a good source of support for us. It gives people, it's a win-win. They know they're making a difference in the community, and they're getting a credit. So in essence, their good deed is not costing them anything.
So is it pretty easy to work through the credit? I mean, there's not a lot of paperwork
No.
and stuff involved. And you said that on your website, YOTO, that's YOTO.org, the site has everything you pretty much need to know about getting through it?
Absolutely. And so you can make your tax credit, and then there's a very simple form through the Arizona Department of Revenue that just, you know, you just put which organization you made your credit to, how much. So this even works for people who are getting refunds. They can get an mm-hmm. even bigger refund by doing the tax credit.
That's always good news.
Right.
So you were saying 1,600 now you're helping. Could you, is there the potential, if you had the funds, to help more?
We estimate that there are probably around 2,500 students that would qualify.
The total need that you could go up to
in Tucson.
Yeah.
We're growing slowly. We're still a small organization, but we're trying to do as much as we can to really help these students.
Where did the idea for Youth on Their Own come from?
Ann Young, who is the founder of Youth on Their Own, was a counselor at Amphi High School, and she started seeing the need for these kids who had nowhere to go. She started providing housing and help, And the basic program has stayed pretty much as she started it.
Her vision has pretty much stayed true after 3 decades.
It's amazing. And she is still involved. She is always bringing in things for the students. And I think she visits, you know, once at least every week or every couple of weeks. So it's really nice to see her.
All right. The website YOTO, that's youthontheirown.org. In fact, if you probably Google just Youth on Their Own, it will come up. Nicola Hartman, the chief executive officer. And again, this spreading the word about a really good deal, this tax credit donation, helping out a lot of nonprofits. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back with State Representative Mark Fincham. He'll be calling us on the live line right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, President's Day. I want to recommend a nice road trip for you. 3-hour drive east of Tucson to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. That's the great starting place where you'll find the many recreation opportunities like the Gila National Forest and Wilderness that are in the Silver City area. And there's also a great listing of really nice places to stay in the area. It makes a great getaway. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. More at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go now on the Buckmaster Show live line to San Francisco, where State Representative Mark Fincham, Republican Oro Valley, is up in the Bay Area. Representative Fincham, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are you today?
Good. Taking a little break, huh?
I am visiting my new grandson.
Oh, so good for you.
It's there are just some things that have to happen in this world, and that's one of them.
Ah, we understand, certainly. You and your colleagues recently passed 5 bills out of committee. It's an attempt that some see that would dramatically weaken the power of the initiative and referendum process. Why are these changes, in your opinion, necessary?
Actually, I think that's a mischaracterization. I'm a big fan of C.S. Lewis, and you know, to quote one of his great works, "Such is the tragic comedy of our situation. We continue to clamor for those very qualities we are rendering impossible.
Mm-hmm.
In a sort of ghastly simplicity, we remove the organ and demand the function." We castrate the gelding and expect it to be fruitful. I guess what I'm saying is we are a representative republic, and through the overlay of direct democracy and this voter initiative process in our state constitution, the legislature now has appropriations authority, frankly, only over 27% of the budget. When we first became a state, it was 100%. But through the power of voter initiatives, over time, we have essentially segmented off that which we have the ability as a legislature to respond to demands that the public makes on the public treasury. So at the very same time that we're seeing this allocation, this voter-driven allocation, we're also seeing voters demand that we increase funding to other programs. So it's like, what, we don't get to spend the dollar twice. And, you know, the state government actually has to cover all of its bills. We don't get to go into deficit spending, thank God, like the federal government does. So, I mean, a great example of this is the recent passage of Prop 206 on the minimum wage. It seems the voters might have missed that the measure will drive a significant increase in costs to state taxpayers for a number of programs, and that translates to an unanticipated consequence, and those always impact other programs. So, you know, constitutions are meant to be durable and dependable. They're the high-level portion of government, and when we're charged with responsibility to run a budget that is zeroed out, we don't have a surplus and we don't have a deficit, we spend each and every dollar, you have limited our option, not you, but our options are very limited by these kinds of things that earmark, these kinds of messages that earmark dollars for specific activities. And at some point, you take away the legislative tool to be able to allocate dollars to those things that voters find more important. Because as I'm sure you've noticed as a news guy, we don't focus on the same things today that we focused on, say, 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
5 years ago, 6 years, 10 years ago. Our priorities change. And when we lock ourselves into a budget item for the long term, it essentially makes it so that we as a legislature can't do the job that the people think that they have elected us to do.
Do you think people are confused that we are a Republican government before we're a democracy? They don't really know the difference between a republic and a democracy.
I think that is the essential element that is missing today. The idea of a voter initiative, and I don't know, I haven't studied this part of it enough. I think the intent of the voter initiative was to provide guidance and counsel to the legislature. I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's somehow been turned into this thing where we have direct democracy. Well, direct democracy and representative republic cannot coexist at the same time because they have very different functions. And they're very different in the way that they function. So it, if people want a direct democracy, which we can look through history and see that I read one piece that said the average direct democracy lasts 17 years. I'm thinking I like our republic a whole lot.
let me quickly touch here on another subject. You made some headlines about taking a look at the Arizona Board of Regents. Perhaps, mm-hmm. I believe you were saying that they had a little too much power, and maybe they should be each of the – well, actually, the legislature should have the ultimate power over the Board of Regents. Is that kind of what you were saying?
Well, we were voted to be the people's representatives in a representative government.
Mm-hmm.
Board of Regents isn't elected.
Right. So
our efforts are aimed at restoring control to what appears to be an out-of-control system. I have a stack of emails and letters from constituents. The moment we launched this idea last year, thank God, and here's kind of the generic quote, thank God somebody's finally looking at this. and these appear to be folks that were students, were our alumni, our former employees of the university. And the thing that really sticks out is, and I'm going to paraphrase a quote, the out-of-control spending is a concern for a lot of people. And when they say out-of-control spending, it's on a lot of different things. And I know that several members, including myself, were approached by both alumni and current students, former employees, who are just there. It's like, this has gotten to be out of control. One thing that will give you a little bit of an indication of just how much of an issue this is, 308-page bill.
Hmm.
308 pages to identify all of the tentacles. Tentacles is a negative connotation, but I don't know a better word to use. That how ABOR reaches into so many different areas. And you know, when we tried to have a discussion about this, we've gotten a lot of justification. But quite frankly, the problem's there. And we're looking at everything from salaries to programs to things that, quite frankly, it looks like it's an out-of-control system. And I am not the only one who feels that way. There were a number of members who signed onto the bill. It appears that it's probably going to be dead for this session. But that does not mean that the issue is dead. That simply means that the approach that we took probably needs to be fine-tuned. You know, some bills of this size and this magnitude often take many years to sort out. And quite frankly, I would love to give the Board of Regents a certain amount of latitude, but I'm beginning to question whether or not we have the right structure.
Speaking with State Representative Mark Fincham, Republican of Oro Valley, from Oro Valley. Quickly running out of time, but how is your bill concerning the sale of gold coins doing? And if, could you summarize it very quickly for us, Representative?
So to be accurate, Bill, the bill restores, at least in Arizona, the exchange of one kind of currency for another.
Okay.
To a non-taxable event. Mm-hmm. If it's signed into law, we'd be the only state in the union to hold the federal treasury accountable for the taxation of inflation. And I've had this discussion with a number of people. I'll try and give it to you super quick.
Okay.
If today you have 1,200 Federal Reserve notes that equal an ounce of gold, mm-hmm, in the form of a federally minted U.S. mint gold coin, tomorrow, that takes 1,300 Federal Reserve notes for the exact same coin. There's a $100 delta there.
Right.
Is that a gain or is that a loss?
Interesting.
Because it takes more Federal Reserve notes to buy the same ounce of gold that it did yesterday.
Right.
You are actually suffering. That is very visible loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because that note is an evidence of debt. It is not money.
It's $100.
That's the thing.
$100 loss.
It's $100 loss.
Yeah, right.
So what this bill would do is simply say, look, you can't take a loss. You can't take a gain. The exchange of one currency for another is a non-taxable event.
Okay.
Now, because the Treasury has decided to kind of manipulate that a little bit with the Federal Reserve, that's not the taxpayer's problem. That's the Treasury's problem.
All right, Representative Fincham, hate to cut you off, but got a hard break coming up. Thank you, sir, and hope you enjoy your new child, your grandchild up there.
I am having a blast with this little guy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark Fincham, State Representative, calling us from San Francisco. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Mike teamed up with Ray Allen together. They put their heads together, and they come up with a good hour indeed. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, talking culture 9 to 10. Then me, yours truly, Bill Buckmaster, and Ray on the other side of the glass. We keep him over there. No, just kidding. coming up, MedVed. Have a great afternoon and evening.